Angelina Jolie has a guest column in the New York Times today. She got a double mastectomy, and she told everyone all about it. She explained that she made the decision because she was able to know definitively that she had an 87% chance of getting breast cancer. That's because she tested for the BRCA1 gene. Dr. Julie Graylow is a medical oncologist at Seattle Cancer Care Alliance and Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, and she specializes in treating women with breast cancer. Dr. Graylow, who should be tested for this gene?
Well, the majority of breast cancer diagnosed in the U.S. is actually not inherited. It's not genetically related. So it's only a minority of women that we would consider testing. What we look for is breast cancers that occur at a young age. The average age of diagnosis of a BRCA1 or 2 gene mutation breast cancer is 42, but the average age in the entire country is 62. So we're looking for cancers that are occurring about 20 years earlier. We're looking for women who have had 1, 2, 3 breast cancers, maybe even in association with ovarian cancer, and lots of family members being affected, including maybe even some of the men in the family. So that's what we're looking for when we think about doing genetic testing.
And how much does it cost to get a genetic test?
To do the BRCA1 and 2 full gene sequencing is between $3,000 and $3,500. And if we find an abnormality, a mutation in one of those two genes in a given patient, we can then test the family members for that spot. We don't need to look at the whole length of both genes. And testing it in the family members, when we're only looking at a small spot, costs a couple hundred dollars. It's more common that insurance would pay for it if you test somebody who's had cancer, and then the subsequent testing can be far less in other family members.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to understand. So insurance will pay in certain situations, like if you've had breast cancer before.
If you've had breast cancer and it's at a young age and you might have some family history. It's not universal, though, and I definitely have patients whose insurance doesn't pay for it.
Okay, and so does that mean that there's a certain population of folks who really ought to be getting the test but just really don't have the availability? I mean, do you find that from day to day in your own work?
Yes, I definitely have patients that I follow and or their family members that I follow who are unable to get the test paid for by insurance, and we have plenty of people who don't even have insurance. And I also do a lot of work in global health and cancer, and most of the world can't get access to these tests.
Now, the gene that lets people know their susceptibility to breast cancer, some people, not everyone, that was discovered by Dr. Mary Claire King, who's been at the University of Washington for a couple of decades now. Do you remember when she discovered it?
Well, I met Dr. King right when I was coming out of my fellowship. That's when she moved to Seattle, and she had a whole basis of work that she had done in Berkeley before we recruited her to the University of Washington, and I knew all about that. I was specializing in breast cancer. This was an exciting story. It was the beginning of the genomic age where we could understand how genes contribute to our health, and we were starting to get the tools that would look at the genes. We are so much more advanced now, 20 years later, but absolutely, I remember it. I remember the first family that I ordered the BRCA1 and 2 testing on, and I actually still am in contact with that family. It's keeping patients like this in the forefront of our memory that makes sure that we do better and keep on the fight and try to understand cancer better.
And then we have celebrities bringing it to the forefront as well.
That's great. I mean, at least it creates dialogue. Hopefully it won't create a bunch of extra testing and people who probably really don't need it, but it will create a discussion about what are the risks, what are the things we can take charge of, what are the things that we can just become better educated on, and we can impact our risk in some ways by doing that and having the dialogue.
Okay. Well, Dr. Julie Graylow, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Sarah.